the view of
it. The first movie you went on the thing we went to, and then we went to Western, and I got an open mouth little speech there, which was laid out and put the beef on both sides and put mustard on it, whatever. And she got ice cream, high on the most that she got.
That was your dinner?
Yeah. I said, you told me we're going to get dinner. She killed her pile of food. and then the following week, LCI number 4, I was put on that ship. And we were ready to, this was on a Tuesday. And then Wednesday they had their meeting with her club, going to dance on Wednesday. And when I left that night, I said, I'm all ready to go aboard ship tomorrow morning, and we're leaving probably here by the end of the week. So I said, will you write to me when I get overseas? And she said, no.
Was she kidding?
Yeah.
She did? Did you write to her?
I didn't want to make a nuisance of myself, but I had her address. So after about 6 weeks, I wrote to her.
What year is this? What year was this?
42. I wrote about 6 weeks, but she didn't answer. So I sent Joanne and sent Brian a copy of that letter. Joanne loved his letter. I said, I just picked out the note.
Oh, the first letter you sent her?
First letter I ever sent her.
So
she didn't answer. And then I think I wrote another letter a couple of weeks later. But then my birthday came and she sent me a happy birthday greeting card and a box of cigars. So I told Joanna, I said, now if you ever get a man you don't want to hang around, tell him no. And then when he has his birthday, you send him a box of cigars and a birthday card, and you'll never be bothered with him again.
Box of cigars from the cigar factory.
Yeah, she was working at the cigar. You couldn't get cigars back there in the day.
Oh, well, you must have been worth the weight in gold. Where'd you ship them to you? Where'd you receive them?
Huh?
You received them, right?
Yeah.
On the ship?
Yeah. Yeah, but we didn't get it for months, you know. We were changing our base every day. As soon as we got overseas, right away they put us with the army, you know.
Where did you get the cigars? Where were you?
I don't know.
In North Africa?
Yeah, somewhere in... Oh, it must have been 6 3 or I don't know. It was much later.
So good?
Yeah, back there. If you were on shore duty there, the PX or whatever you call them, you could never get one cigar a week.
How many were in a box?
50, I guess.
Wow.
Oh, I was king shit.
King cigar?
Nobody thought of taking something like that. I never thought of, we got nothing but a box. And, you know, I never thought of taking more than one bottle of ink, you know. Well, by the time I wrote the first 20 pages in the diary and wrote all these letters, I had to go to lead pencil or something.
You start watering down your ink.
Well, I didn't know what to do. I never thought of it. Same way with a box of
ink. You couldn't buy ink?
Huh?
Couldn't buy ink?
No. We couldn't buy tobacco even.
Wow.
The Navy wasn't there. You know, we came over there when we had an invasion. We worked with the Army and the British sometimes. We worked with the British. Wherever the senior officer was, he was in charge of me. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes he might have been an officer at the base, you know, and we were the only ship there, or the only a squadron or something. He'd keep us busy. He wasn't even a sailor. Yeah, we were, nobody bothered with us. We were over there for 15 months. Eventually we were wearing army fatigues, all but shoes. They couldn't give us shoes. So we wanted to buy them, and they said, no, I can't do that either. The master, or whatever he was, charge of the
quartermaster.
Yeah, the quartermaster in the Navy is a
different than the quartermaster in the Army. Yeah.
He's an assistant navigator.
So when was this first dance where you met Mom, though? When was that first dance? That was in 1942.
The night I landed from Solomon's.
From Solomon's?
I was on the USS Leonard Wood.
Leonard Wood.
We were on there. We were not on the Chesapeake Bay. That was a troop ship. And they were on maneuvers, and they were practicing at night when we got there. They were practicing at night, pulling rafts, long line, a long rope, and pulling these rafts with each man at about 6 minutes. A little rubber boat, pulling. And we had all kinds of trouble with it, you know, because storms came up, and it was all right as long as you kept going straight. But when you made any kind of a turn, it'd get all twisted up, you know, and men were drowning and everything else. And it's Leonard Wood. But then something happened, and just, I don't, we were signaling, but I didn't send any messages, but we had to go every hour, and he'd call us to go on a bridge, and we would get talks on procedures and things for signals. So something happened, I don't know how they got a message to get rid of us and report, I guess they filled up a troop ship. And then they put us on the Thomas Stone. We went out a whole week with them, and that was different out there. But I think we were still had 12 of us nothing to do but just sit there and watch them take the messages.
It's on Chesapeake.
And the Chesapeake Bay. So after a week of that, well, I remember the big storm come up, and the captain he turned around, and I was the closest one to him, and he said, come here. And I went over there, and he said, do you know where the location is of the hydrometer, or the, what do you call it, for the pressure?
Barometer.
You know where the barometer is of it? I said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to go down there, and he said, I want you to take your finger and tap it 3 times. Every minute, tap it 3 times, and as soon as that moves 1 notch, I want you to report to me right away. I went down there, I said, the whole time has never changed. The morning came and nobody was up in the fridge. I don't know what time they went to bed, but I stayed there all night like that.
Was he fooling with you or what?
Whatever the operations they were performing, he wanted to know when the barometer would change. I guess that was my share of trying to win the war. Stood there all night, tapping that thing.
So how did you get from Chesapeake Bay up to Canvas?
Well, then, the Chesapeake Bay, they put us in a small boat and put us ashore, the 12 of us. And the nothing was on the shore. They had just finished making the kitchen, and they had to scrape together to get a stuff to eat.
This is Sullivan.
At Sullivan's, yeah. Went before, and they were building the first barracks. They were just putting up the first barracks. And so we went in there, and we never wore nothing but navy and undressed blues, you know. But they gave us a job in the morning to go over there. They were cutting down trees, and the 12 of us went over there and cut down the trees. Not to cut them down, but to pick up the branches and throw them on the back of a truck, and then they piled them up. They were cutting the woods apart to make more barracks.
Mm-hmm.
And we slept in this barracks, but we had an old man, a boatswain mate. He must have went back into service in order to put him in charge. Didn't see no officers or anything. So he got it first to work, clearing up all the material laying around all day, and we took a cold war shower. And in the morning we put on our undressed blues and we lined up for inspection, and they took us up in the woods there to load these trees. Well, after 3 or 4 days of that, an officer finally arrived there, and he was up there. Here we had our badges on for class, all of us were third class signalmen, you know. He said, what are these signalmen, what are they doing out here with loading trucks? He said, officers are coming in by the dozens every day. Get down there, follow me. And we took the 12 of us down there, and he put us in charge of teaching the Army officers and so forth. So every morning for an hour, we would go down there, and then four or five of them would, officers would get in front of each one of us, you know, we'd space ourselves. We would just send them dog, cat, man, house, you know, words like that.
Or flags.
Yeah.
With flags.
7-4 flags, yeah. That's the only first time I learned to say 7-4. We didn't do a 7-4 in old school. Just read it. So after a while, that was monotonous, you know. So after a while, back then I knew a lot of poems that I had memorized, so I started reciting poetry with it. The next thing I had 25 hours.
Oh, 7-4 poetry?
Of course. And then they got us together. The day came, they got us together, and they sent us in the truck. And remember when we went to where that building, the polar stuff there with the bricks or the stone, where the gates were?
Yes. For the plaque.
Well, and we went up that way, but then there was no gate there at all at that time. There was nobody. I mean, we saw that one officer. They sent us to the New York Shipbuilding Company. And then all the way through, our orders were screwed up like that. Nobody knew anything about amphibious forces. Amphibious forces. What's the amphibious forces? And they sent you to a company that was making ships, and they were making an aircraft carrier at the same time. I forget which one it was, the Yorktowns. They were making that at the same time, and they were collecting crews on there in the same way they were collecting crews for LCIs that were coming out. But the first LCI wasn't finished yet. So they had an officer there was doing it, but he saw us guys coming in there and signaled me, you know. He said, thank God, I got a signalman. I have every other grade train there is, but I still have no signalman. But when he looked at our orders, he did space something.
Was he with the LCI or the aircraft carrier?
He was with the aircraft carrier.
Oh.
No, he said, take a bunk anywhere. He said, there's a space. Because he only had, what, 8-10 men so far. It was in a well-packed building. And they tore that down piece by piece because it was contaminated with radium. They used that watches and clocks that had dialed it up at night.
Glow in the dark.
Yeah. And these women were muted and pointed at their tongue and take that brush that thing and paste these dials, you know.
But they all got cancer.
I bet they did. I bet they did.
How did you get from Solomon's to New York ship? By truck?
That is my truck. And to New York ship. Well, New York ship.
Yeah, right.
We got as far as, what was it, Market and some right? What's the...
In Canada or...
In Philly.
In Philly.
He wouldn't go across the bridge.
And Franklin Bridge.
Yeah, he wouldn't cross the bridge. He said the truck driver said, you do wait here. So the guy in charge of us was a machinist mate. He was the second guy in the thing, so he was in charge of everybody who was there, 12 of us. And he went in a bar there. They said, don't nobody move. Stay here till I come. He went in there and he called New York Shipbuilding, and they sent a truck. They sent a truck over there for us. And they took us right down in front of that New York ship building, but they had that big hot step. And we went up there with all this gear and all of it. The women started running. They didn't know what was going on. Finally, a man came over to us.
Because you had all your gear?
Yeah, they didn't know what we were doing. Coming into the main office, you know. So the guy was at the charge of it up there. He didn't know what to do either. So he got somebody on the phone, and they took us over to the Wells Park building. And then that's where I met the officer there. I asked him, I said, what time do we have to be back here? I said, could we go ashore or what? Oh, yeah. He said, you're not under my care.
Yeah, enjoy Camden.
Yeah. I said, you have any... time we should be back. Well, he said, don't stay on later than 11 o'clock, he said, because We put the lights on at that time, around that time, he said, because we don't want you coming in here in the dark all night. So I said, okay, so I walked with a couple guys, and he said, I said, where's the USO? USO is over there. Every town has a USO. Well, he said, I'll tell you, you better go to the YMCA, because the USO, you just get off your notice, he said, but the YMCA, they have a group that comes here, that are there once a week, he said, and they have a dance, and they serve sandwiches.
Hey.
So, two or three of us, we went up there. And that was 18 blocks, 16.
From New York ship to the YMCA?
Yeah, it was eight, no, it was Tomong's house, it was 18 blocks.
From New York ship?
And then from there, it was another
20 blocks from
there. Yeah.
To walk it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I walked it enough times.
And then I met Olga at the door. She was a, what do you call them?
Greeter?
Greeter, yeah. She asked me, what's my name and where I'm from, and then...
And then the group of sailors started coming in, you know, and then she turned around and Phil was standing there. And so she gave me the film. Phil asked me to say something. And then a guy came up to her that must have been her a couple of times there. He come riding right over to Phil, you know, and started talking to him. And then she turned around and Ann was standing there. So, Ann didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. And the light, the orchestra started to play. So we stood there and we watched the floor fill up with couples, you know, and we hadn't even met. And we just stood there and watched them, you know. And then somebody made the announcement they're going to have a electric light dance. So we were still standing there and... all of a sudden the lights went on. They put the lights out and all of a sudden the lights went on. And it flashed one light on where I was standing. I was standing right on the dance floor, just barely, you know. And they gave me a 5-pound pencil set. And where would a sailor put a 5-pound pencil set with? You can't keep carrying your wallet in your foot.
You carry it around your hand all night?
No, I put it in my sock. But the pencil was all right, but the big part never worked.
Well, how did you get it? Just because you were
standing? Just because I was standing, yeah, I was a winner of it. And right when I was standing.
What did Mom think of that?
I don't remember much about it. I never met her before, but we just stood there, and I guess eventually we talked. I know maybe we danced once or twice. I don't remember, but there were all we met was coming up there, sailors were coming up and dancing with the girls.
So when is this? This is summer 1942?
I think it was in the autumn. I think it was in
October?
September.
September?
September, I think it was. So 42. Well, then I went back the next week, two nights before. Oregon. I went down there again and she wasn't there. So I didn't know that. They only went there on Wednesday night. So then I waited and went the next Wednesday night. And, we still danced, I guess, but she danced with other persons, you know, and didn't.
When did you get to that movie?
I don't remember him. I don't remember how long it was. It must have been 4 or 5 weeks. We started talking, and then one night, Phil was, and poor boyfriend was going home. He was taking Phil home. He met somebody there every week, and he was taking her home. Well, naturally, he had walked there with him. So I walked along home with, I walked along with her and Phil and the other Phil. Took us in and introduced us to their mother and father.
Grandma Bucci.
Yeah. She didn't know nothing about us.
No.
cultures in there.
Was Grandpa there?
Yeah,
Grandpa was there?
Yeah. I still remember Mom. I think Pop just said hello and then left to go get a glass of wine or something. He just asked you where you're from and what work.
So then you finally got to the movie.
Finally, yeah, it was a couple of weeks that happened like that. I forget who it was. She came early or something. I don't remember what, but finally we got to a movie. But she said she wasn't going to write. And I never even kissed her or nothing. I was just contented to be with her. I liked her, but she was a nice looking girl back then. She was pretty.
Oh, yeah. So, when did you see her again? When you got your cigars for your birthday? Well, you got the cigars a couple months later, right? Or,
oh, yeah. Much, yeah.
Well, I mean, your birthday was November. So that was like 2 months later.
November, yeah. I didn't get it until a month or two later. Oh. And then she must have started writing. I don't know. I couldn't find a couple letters. But either I didn't write or she didn't. I don't know what she wrote because I didn't save any of them.
When did you see her again? When were you back in Canada?
Until I came.
So after the work?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, after the work?
No.
No?
I think we went to, we slept, but we didn't go overseas right away. We went to where is that big Navy on? Norfolk.
Yeah.
We went to Norfolk, and then. And then we had to get ammunition, and we were there a couple of weeks too, but I didn't get home from there. But I didn't see her for 15 months.
That's more like 1944?
44.
That's the next 5 years in Canada?
Then we, yeah. But then one more time I got to Canada, I don't remember where it was. One more time I got to Camden. But see, I never got to leave. After boot camp, you were supposed to have a...
Where'd you do boot camp?
After Coddington Point in Big base.
About 4-6?
No. It was up in New England somewhere.
Oh, Rhode Island?
Rhode Island.
Like Newport?
Newport, Rhode Island, yeah.
So you did boot camp?
That's where I went.
Oh.
But I didn't know anybody then.
How long you have to be in boot camp?
Well, you were supposed to be 6 weeks, but when you got your final shot, they started setting you off. And they gave me a choice. I could go to pharmacist based school, which would be like a nurse, you know, pharmacist based school. Or I could go for signalman. So I picked signalman.
Yeah.
I didn't want to
be a pill pusher.
I didn't want to be a pill pusher. You know. I thought I might want to, if I want to ship a cinch, I want to swallow salt water. I don't want to die. What do you call it when you can't breathe?
Asphyxiation?
Yeah, the down deck, you know, how long is the air going to last when you're going down there?
Yeah, you'd be on the aircraft carriers then. So they sent you, that's what they sent you to Chicago, right?
Yeah, just Chicago, 100 of us. And 100 of us.
University of Chicago.
University of Chicago.
Take a train?
Huh?
Take a train?
Yeah, we had a whole box, a whole passenger car. And they went to Sunny Gymnasium. And we had a gymnasium for 100 beds, 100 pumps. on the gymnasium floor. And we, every year, every morning we would march to the school. And
what was the name of the gymnasium?
Sunny. Sunny Gymnasium. I guess it was somebody's name. It wasn't Sunny.
Yeah.
Sunny. And then we had, in the mornings we went to the field house. We went to the field house where we had blinker lights, semaphore. And then outside, maybe once a week, we had flag hoist. But you know, the flag hoist is more complicated than what it looks, because the Navy alphabet is 67 flags, you know.
Yeah.
You could say an awful lot, but we didn't have much training with that.
Did you have one for each letter?
What? Oh, yeah, you have one for each letter, and then you have corp, and then you have first repeat, second repeat, third repeat. 67 different flags, I wouldn't know.
You got a flag locker, keep them on?
Oh, yeah, right. You, on the ship you have them, too.
Yeah.
They had a whole bag, a whole locker. But they never made signalmen. All right, one signalman, and one hoist's mate, and one, what do you call it, gunner's mate. You know, how is a signalman going to go down the flag bank up from up in the conning tower, you know? So what they had to do is pick out one of the crew members and give them to you to, for you to train in, you know. Yeah, you learn more about flag horse than I do.
Really?
Yeah. So they gave me a good kid. He wanted to be a signalman real bad, too. He used to hang around the bag. You know, when deckhands, when you were underway, they didn't do a whole lot of work. But he would always hang around the back. You know, he wanted to be a signalman. He was a barber from Kentucky. I still remember Blaine Cornell. He was a good kid, and he's smart too. He picked it up faster than I would.
But you were at the University of Chicago when they were building the atomic pile there.
Yeah, I didn't know
that. Same field house?
Yeah.
Was it?
They had a field house. They had all these rooms all the way around here. I mean, in one of those rooms, we made the first atomic explosion.
The atomic
pile was done in a matchbox.
Oh, no, it filled the whole room. Huh? It was carbon bricks as big as your garage.
I
read about it.
Did you? I didn't know that until just a couple of years.
It was as big as your garage. That pile of carbon, you know, they had to have the carbon bricks to shield it. And then we don't hear it. It wasn't an explosion. All they did was, it was like a nuclear reactor.
We never heard anything about it.
And, you know, that's where they first, split the atom.
Yeah, we never knew that was.
No. That's Enrico Fermi.
And then in the afternoons, we went, they gave us a classroom on the first floor. Classroom where we had procedure and what else was it? How to keep the ship's log. Because we had to keep the log. We were under man on them first ships.
Yeah, it's funny how they trained you a whole piecemeal, sent you here, sent you there. And
yeah. And then when it, after 16 weeks was the course, but when we were there 12 weeks, they picked out a group of us. I think there was about a dozen of us. They picked us. And we went to a dressmaker and had to get things sewed on.
Did he teach you how to sew?
No. No, the dressmaker sewed them on. They had them right there in their bag.
What rank are you then?
Huh?
What rank
third
are you?
Third class.
What?
Signalman.
Yeah, but with seamen though, you were...
Third class seaman and first class. I never was second class seaman and I never was first class seaman. I went from apprentice seaman to first class seaman.
Third class
seaman.
Third class seaman?
Third class seaman.
How many stripes is that on your arm?
Just one.
Just one?
Just one. I ended up first class with three stripes.
Oh, you go from third to first?
Yeah, after you invade the system, you and then that confusion in Italy because of
you get a pay raise?
Oh, yeah. And I went from $21 a month to the highest when I was first class single, but I could make $135 a month.
Wow.
With secret, we cut state pay.
And you sent all that home?
No. I kept it on the books.
Oh, you kept it on the books.
Everything over $100 I kept on the books. Well, what was I going to spend money on? Ink. Why? They couldn't get it that much. Why?
Couldn't buy ink.
Couldn't buy ink. Couldn't buy a good guy candy bar. And nobody's going to take a box of candy over.
Last minute
I went over and they had nothing but Clark bar. And I never was crazy about a Clark bar. But I could sell them for 25 cents a piece later on. But
you bet it.
Anyway, one of the officers was cigar. Well, he had cigars, but he was the one of them guys that smoked 3 or 4 a day. He ran out. And he wanted me to give cigars. I did a couple times. He gave me 5 cents.
Did he know you when you got your box of 50?
Yeah, he knew I had
cigars. Oh, yeah.
I had a whole ship to that.
You were cigar rich then. Funny, you remember.